الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. وقال تعالى: الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, it is only through the kindness, the fadl, the karam, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at this very moment more than 1 million hujjaj have gathered on the plains of Arafat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a hajj mabroor, maqbool. And this is a very momentous occasion. It is the pinnacle of the hajj, the fifth pillar of Islam. You will see a sea and a multitude of pilgrims assembled on the plains of Arafat, all dressed so modestly with extreme humility, the menfolk in the two sheets of ihram. So multitudes of hujjaj, as far as the eye can see. That it is a very, very emotional occasion, a very emotional day in the life of a haji. It is a time when the hujjaj will now be engrossed in supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in du'as. It is a time when they will be seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of them, you will see tears rolling down the cheeks, their beards becoming drenched, crying, calling out the labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, oh Allah, I am present, oh Allah, I am present. I am at your service, oh my Rabb. It is a time when Allah's abounding mercies are showering on those who have assembled there, who are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a time when the haji reconnects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a special moment now, a very jubilant moment. It is just that haji and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has raised his hands and he is beseeching Allah's forgiveness. He is begging for Allah's mercy. The Hajj is such an important occasion that Allah has made it a pillar of Islam. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. It should be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not with any other ulterior motive. Not for show and ostentation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made the dua. Allahumma, O Allah, make it be hajjatan la riya'a fiha. There must be no riya' wa la sum'ah, no ostentation. It must be solely for your pleasure. So the person, the pilgrim, is now bonding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness for all his past sins, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the person is a rich man or a poor man, whether he's a king, whether he's a ruler, or whether he's an ordinary servant, he may be a street sweeper, but everybody is assembled together. There is no discrimination, and this is highlighted in the Hajj. Everyone is an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Allah yubahi Allahu malaikatahu. Allah ta'ala boasts to the angels on this occasion of Arafah. And he said, Unzuru ila ibadi, O my angels, look at my servants. They have come from so far and wide. Min kulli fajjin amiq. Shu'than ghubran. The hair is disheveled. They're covered with dust. They're hymning my praises. They're reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They are reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's grandeur, Allah's supremacy, Allah's might. And they had completely absorbed only in their seeking Allah's forgiveness and supplication and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such an occasion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Allahumma ghafir lil hajj, Allah forgive the haji, wa liman istaghfar lahul hajj. And even for that person for who on whose behalf the haji makes dua maghfiratu. Allah says, Yarjuna rahmati, they are seeking my mercy. Qad ghafartu lahum, I have forgiven them. There is no day in the entire year in which so many souls are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam than the day of Arafah. Therefore, it is the most distressing day for Iblis, Shaitan, the cursed. In the words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is azghar, ahqar, aghyad. He is absolutely humiliated. He is full of misery on this day. Why? Because he cannot stomach Allah forgiving millions of people. Allah freeing so many people from the fire of Jahannam. It is too painful for him. He actually takes sand and dust and he throws it over himself, cursing himself that Allah is forgiving so many people. This is what Shaitan does not want. He does not want that Allah must forgive his makhluk. So, the pinnacle of Hajj is the day of Arafah. Of course, Arafah is there today. For us, the day of Arafah is tomorrow, according to the sighting of the moon, etc. And there is great virtue for the person who fasts on the day of Arafah, tomorrow, 9th of Dhul Hijjah, should try and keep a roza. A person's past minor sins are forgiven, and the future years minor sins are also forgiven. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though we are not there on the plains of Arafat, Allah has not deprived you and I. So with this beautiful occasion, this Haji has embarked on this very, very important tenet of deen. Even known Misri rahmatullahi alayhi asked a youngster after he returned, or on the journey of Hajj, that, oh my son, that you are taking such a long, arduous journey, very tiresome. So this youngster replies, he says, O Sheikh, it becomes very laborious and very hard and difficult and very arduous for who? For that person who has not got the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. For a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every station in Hajj, every maqam in Hajj, it is only bringing to him jubilation, ecstasy, joy, happiness. And of course, it has to be Hajj with sincerity, with ikhlas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that that person, man malaka zadan wa rahila, that person who has the means of making hajj. And he still does not make hajj. فَلَمْ يَحُجَّهُ فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًّا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا. Then it doesn't bother that he then becomes, he leaves his world as a Christian or a Jew. May Allah protect us. But again, it should not be a hajj for show. It should not be a hajj when a person has used haram wealth, has consumed haram. Then when he's making labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, the answer then comes, respected brothers and elders. La labbaik, la labbaik, hajjuka mardudun alayk. There is no labbaik for you. Your hajj has been thrown back at you. For that person who has used haram wealth, he has cheated, deceived people in the world. Like the person says, the cat that ate 100 mice, and now the cat is gone for hajj. Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive all the hujjaj. Allah grant them a hajj mabroor. It's a lesson for all of us. When we prepare, hajj is not just a ritual. There is great amount of nuraniyat, ruhaniyat, spirituality with it. So even in the days of hajj, a person has to be absolutely careful that he does not utter any nonsensical word, any immoral word. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Normally what even a husband and wife will talk among themselves, even those days of hajj, a person should abstain from such words also. There should be no sins whatsoever. It's a time of purity, to purify ourselves, to make the change. And when the haji returns, he comes back as a changed person. He has spent so much of money and has undertaken this journey. And this is a special journey, as I explained. It is bonding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reuniting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah for forgiveness. So when he comes back, he should be a changed person, a better person. He should make amends for all what he has done wrong. Now especially his salat, he should establish his salat. As far as huququl ibad is concerned, he should fulfill each person's rights. Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh, he meets a haji on his return. He asks this person, engage in some conversation. And while they're speaking, he asked him, what niyat did you make when you left home? What was your intention when you left home? Did you make this niyat, oh Allah, I'm now embarking on this journey towards you, and now I'm going to forsake all my sins and abandon my evil practices and habits? He says, Hazrat, at that moment this did not strike my mind, did not cross my mind. I didn't make this intention. He said, then in reality you didn't leave home. You tell me, when you donned the ihram, did you have within you this feeling that now I'm donning clothes of simplicity, humility, and I'm removing from me clothing of pride and arrogance? He says, no, I didn't think of this. I was more concerned of how I'm going to time my ihram and how I will look in front of people. He says, then in essence, you haven't donned the ihram correctly. He said, tell me, when you made tawaf of the Kaaba, were you not overwhelmed by the beauty and the grandeur and the majesty of Allah, the supremacy of Allah, and this is the house of Allah? Did not make you connect and feel the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the Rabbul Bayt. He is the Rabb of this Kaaba. He says, at that time I was only counting how many rounds I got left of the tawaf, so I could just get done over the tawaf. He says, in essence, you haven't made tawaf then. He says, tell me, when you went to Arafat, the day of Arafat, it was the day when you were seeking Allah's forgiveness, supplicating to Allah, crying before Allah. Did you gain the recognition of Allah? Did you become closer to Allah? Did you feel the closest to Allah? He says, I was so tired, I slept, and then I was looking at every other person, and my time went away in that way. He says, then what type of Arafah did you experience? When you picked up the pebbles at Muzdalifah to pelt at the Jamarat, did you not feel each time you picked up a pebble that now I'm picking up all my long, long desires I have in life, the wrong pleasures I have, the vice, the evil, now I'm going to cast all this and throw it at the Jamarat. He says, no, I never felt like this. Like this, he asked him, the various maqamat in Hajj, Safa, Marwa, did you feel the purity of your heart? Did you think of Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam when she made the sa'i between Safa and Marwa? Did you think of the love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you make niyat and dua that, oh Allah, give me a better akhlaq and character? He says, I didn't think of that. When you made zabah of your animal, did you not think of the love of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, I didn't think of that. What type of hajj have you made then? So respected brothers and elders, even though we are not there, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for all those, especially upon whom hajj is farad, may Allah remove all difficulties, may Allah make it easy, in hajj mabrur, maqbool. But there are lessons for all of us, that even these Mubarak days, you know, when Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala, when he made hajj, he gave a sermon, and he gave a khutbah, and he addressed the hujjaj there. He says, Amma ba'd, فَإِنَّكُمْ جِئْتُمْ مِنْ آفَاقٍ شَتَّى. You have come from far and wide, distant lands, and you've all come into the plains of Arafat. On the same day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Allah has perfected our deen. This is the day of Arafah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. Abdullah bin Zubayr mentioned in his khutbah that, O people, you have come from far and wide. You have come as a delegation to Allah. Wufudan ila Allah. And Allah honors his delegation. فَحَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكْرِمَ وَفْدَهُ. It is Allah has made it obligatory upon himself. He's taken it upon himself, the responsibility upon himself, that he will ensure that he honors his delegation. فَإِنَّ طَارِبَ اللَّهِ لَا يَخِيبُ. One who is seeking Allah, one who is genuine in seeking Allah, he will never be at a loss. Allah will make him successful. And then he reminded the people that they must be honest to Allah, they must be true to Allah by means of their tongue and their hearts. And he says, Allah, Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. These are days when sins are forgiven. It should not be that you have converged here, you have come here, you have gathered here, and still you are engrossed in sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan, Iblis, takes the mind of the haji away. And instead of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realizing that I have come here solely so that Allah may purify me, at that moment also he takes out his camera and he's busy videoing every person in the world and himself to show the people and to put it on that how nice dua he made or whatever it may be. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us that ikhlas and sincerity in all our ibadah, in our salat, in our zakat, in our hajj, in our qurbani. In every aspect of our life, there must be a concerted effort when we should be genuine, loyal, sincere, only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah told that person, I think, my brother, you should make hajj again. Because on this day of Arafah, when Rasulullah gave his beautiful sermon, the farewell sermon, which you find in many homes and many offices hung on the wall, one should take heed and ponder and cogitate over these beautiful teachings and guidelines and instructions, advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many advices. And this, these advices are for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah highlighted the importance of the honor, integrity, the respect of every believer. Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum. That your lives, your wealth, it is sacred. Like how this day is so sacred in the eyes of Allah. Like how this town and this place, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, Makkah, it is so sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how this month, Dhul Hijjah, is so sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim person is honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about equality. La fadla li arabiyin ala a'jami. An Arab has no fadila, superiority over a non-Arab. And a non-Arab has no superiority over an Arab. This is Islam, this is equality. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on so many occasions. And even on this momentous occasion, he again showed us the importance of fulfilling the rights of women. It's not that a certain occasion and suddenly when the whole world, the Western world talks about women rights, and they are so ignorant to what Islam teachings are about a woman and how we should look after our wives and the women folk in general. They're ignorant to it. We have not shown them the reality of Islam, the truth of Islam, and the correct way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have not displayed this to them. So the image that they have is, ma'adallah, we are brutal to our wives and our, the women folk, and we deprive them of rights. And the rights they talk about is not real rights. They let your women folk go naked and wander the streets and flirt with whoever they want. Islam is the only true religion, and Islam shows equality and how we should look after our wives. Rasulullah warned us again. He reminded us again. And of course, salah. The importance of salah. So respected brothers and elders, for you and I, these are great days. And of course, tomorrow, the day of Arafah for us, of course for them, the Hujjah today, and the day of Eid, may Allah Ta'ala grant us a beautiful occasion of Eid. At an equation of unity, brotherhood, and connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, the warnings that have been mentioned in the hadith are very, very severe, very stern for that person who fails, who shirks in his duty in fulfilling this tenet of Islam, this principle or this pillar of Islam. And there is the pillar of Hajj. May Allah Ta'ala make it possible for us. Many times a person feels, no, if I have to embark on this Hajj journey, then I have to change my life. I'm not ready for it now. Like many youngster feels, I'm not ready to get married because then I will have to give up many of my habits and enjoyment and pleasures. So many people say, no, I'm not ready for Hajj now. Then I have to become a buzrug. I have to change my life. My respected brothers and elders, nobody has got barosa when maut will strike. And even though there may be so much of things that we have to now planning and things to sort out and arrangements to be made, never lose hope. Don't feel, no, it's not possible for me to make Hajj. Save your money, halal money. Do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undertake this journey. 2017, there was an incident which was reported and it came in the papers as well, of a simple poor man from Ghana, rural town, village. And there was a Turkish news agency that was doing some project there. And they were flying an unmanned drone. And this drone falls in the backyard of this man's house, simple house, and he picks it up. The first time in his life he's seeing a drone. He does not know what it is. Nevertheless, he makes some inquiries and he goes to these Turkish authorities and then he gives them back, he hands it over to them. And of course, they are elated because they had lost this drone. It was precious to them. And they engage in a conversation which was recorded. And this simple man said, is there a bigger thing like this that can take me for Hajj? I would love to go for Hajj and see the house of my Allah. So this news reached the Turkish authorities. And then finally they made it such that they arranged for him
a Hajj pilgrimage that year and he went for Hajj. If Allah has written on our labbaik that we will go for Hajj, we may have to make a little bit of effort definitely and du'as. But most importantly for us and also for the Hajji when he will return, that he should ensure that my life must now be far better than what it was. There must be those good qualities after touching Hajar al-Aswad, after making Tawaf, Safa, Marwa, and going onto the plains of Arafat. Now I have to become a better Muslim, a better follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.